Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm John Cardwell, pastor of Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Anniston, Alabama, and welcome to A Biblical Perspective on the News. Now, when I first started as a member of the team of Sermon Audio's News in Focus, I thought that it might be a good idea that perhaps once a week or once every 2 weeks I'd go over the news items in a week, take one, and present a news item for Friday or Saturday just for the for a weekend meditation. But this Monday, June 29th, an article came out that I believed that I needed to speak on as soon as I possibly could, because it is something that I am very passionate about. And we'll just get into the story. And the news article from the Christian Post, the headline reads, "Survey: Churches Losing Youths Long Before College." The subtitle is, "The Bible Calls the Church the Body of Christ. Today that body is bleeding profusely," says a Christian author and sought-out speaker. The subtitle is actually the opening paragraph of the article, and I just want to point out a few of the things that are mentioned and an overview of the article. The next generation of believers, the next sentence in the article says, "The next generation of believers is draining from the churches, and it causes me great personal and professional concern," said Ken Ham, founder and president of Answers in Genesis and a Young Earth Creationist. That is to say that Ken Ham is a Young Earth Creationist, and I'm very familiar with the work of Ken Ham, and I think that he does an excellent service to the cause of Christ in the area of bringing information concerning a literal interpretation of the book of Genesis as a Young Earth Creationist, which I would readily consider myself and seated within that camp as a Young Earth Creationist. But he had written a new book with these findings based on a American Research Group survey, calling these folks, enlisting the services of these folks in American Research Group to run a survey of 95% of 20 to 29-year-old evangelicals attend church regularly during their elementary and middle school years, and only 55% went to church during high school. And by college, only 11% were still attending church. So through the research, as they dug deeper into it, partway down it says, "Among those who said they do not believe all the biblical accounts are true, the top reasons they gave for doubting the scriptures were, it was written by men, 24%, it was not translated correctly, 18%, the Bible contradicts itself, 15%, and science shows the world is old, 14%. Of those people, or young people, that are fleeing the faith, that they left pretty much by the time they reached middle school." Now, there's another sentence just below the one that I read. It says, "In an even more alarming finding, attending Sunday school proved to be of no help in strengthening a young person's faith. In fact, the survey revealed that Sunday school is actually more likely to be detrimental to the spiritual and moral health of children." Ken Ham stressed, quote, "We're not advocating getting rid of Sunday schools," end quote. "Instead, we're advocating a revolution of them," he added. And then he goes on to say, a little bit lower, it says, "Part of the problem," Ham pointed out, "is the curriculum. While Sunday school teachers teach Bible stories, children are left to learn biology, anthropology, geology, astronomy, and other science courses at public schools." And I wouldn't disagree. Often you see, and especially this is true of churches that grow quite a bit faster, this seems to be very readily true, especially among megachurches that grow at an excessively fast rate. And then as those megachurches that do have actually a Sunday school curriculum, in order to fulfill the need of having a Sunday school, they may take anybody who's just willing and available to be a part of the Sunday school without any real foundation in being able to teach. and in clear violation of Paul's command to Timothy to lay hands suddenly on no man, that someone should not be a novice. And so this clearly ends up becoming the case. And his and Brother Ken Ham's point being is that if we teach our children or anyone to take God's word as written concerning the resurrection, the miracles of Jesus, and the account of Jonah and the great fish, but then tell them we don't need to take Genesis as written, but can reinterpret it on the basis of the world's teaching about millions of years and evolution, we have unlocked the door. Ham wrote in his book, and I agree, but the greater point is not necessarily just teaching Genesis as a jumping off point. We should believe the Genesis record. The larger point is the authority of Scripture. The revamping of Sunday schools is not the solution in and of itself either. I believe it is. They should be, and we should be careful. And as ministers, as pastors that have Sunday schools or discipleship classes, we should be very careful about what our curriculums are, especially among our young people, what we are teaching, and certainly what we are believing. And this is why I'm very passionate about it, because I think that sometimes with the symptoms of the problem, our focus begins to address basically the symptoms, and what it turns out to be is basically a reactionary response of putting a band-aid on a bullet hole. This is why I'm so passionate about this, is the Lord has given me another opportunity to come off of the mission field and to actually pastor a church. Even in the condition I'm in, my emphasis as a minister and our emphasis as a congregation, I believe, is in the direction of moving our families to understand our mandate from the Lord according to Scriptures, our responsibility to the Lord and to one another, and especially to our children as parents in the Lord according to Scripture, and that those good works flow from faith. Let me give you an idea of what I'm talking about. That certainly the Sunday schools, again, I'll reiterate, certainly the Sunday schools do need some need a closer look. And our Sunday school for our youth, I actually teach our youth Sunday school. We, after our prayer, we go into a recitation of the catechism, and then we walk through verse by verse. Right now we're walking through Luke, and we discuss it and talk about it, and that's our Sunday school lesson, expositional study through the Scriptures. But here it is. This, I believe, is really where we need to bring our attention. Our encouragement as ministers should be for families to walk according to these Scriptures and reinforcing those things that are absolutely necessary: the authority of Scripture, the sovereignty of God, the doctrines of grace, and so forth. But here in Deuteronomy 6, in verses 4 through 9, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates." And then, so as not to only give you one witness of this, we have also Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And as I mentioned, that we use Charles Spurgeon's A Puritan Catechism within our Sunday school for our young people, utilizing the catechism and teaching a confession of faith, like the 1689 Baptist Confession, 1646 Westminster Confession, what have you. That's not the solution either, because if you look at church history, we understand that one of the great problems was in the when the First Great Awakening say came. Here are people that were being catechized. Here are people that were being taught the Westminster Confession of Faith or the Baptist Confession of Faith. Here are people that were being brought topical messages on doctrines and were encouraged to read the Bible. So the catechism is not necessarily the answer in and of itself. It goes much deeper. And I want to explain it even a little further from a treatise that I absolutely love and I encourage in our own congregation to read to get a perspective on the practical aspects of our Christianity that flow from faith. It's from John Bunyan's A Christian Behavior, which is available online for free as a PDF document on Sermon Audio. But John Bunyan says, here's one of the things that John Bunyan says here, towards the end of his treatise. He says that the best way both to provoke ourselves and others to good works is to be often affirming to others the doctrine of justification by grace and to believe it ourselves. What is he saying here? From the quote, which is wonderful, that we should be speaking one another of Christ and Him crucified, the doctrine of justification by grace, the sovereign grace of God, and encouraging one another in it. See, you could recite the catechism all you like, and then memorize the catechism, memorize the 1689 Baptist Confession. It won't do you any good unless that reality before your children is there, that you certainly believe this. That is the very key to what is going on. The catechism, the confessions, the creeds that explain those things that we certainly believe from the scriptures are merely tools, not primarily to teach our children and our families. And I say not primarily to teach our children and our families, because that is the plan, the purpose, that is the office of the Holy Spirit. He teaches us and illuminates us to the scriptures. The catechism and the confession and our daily Bible reading are those things that are for us as parents. We do those as having these tools available. We have a Puritan catechism. We have Robert Murray McShane's systematic scripture reading of reading the Bible through in a year. And we have the Confession of Faith. We have Christian Behavior, and we read those things within our families. And those are things that remind us as parents what are those things that are important and give us an opportunity to keep these things before our children. And if our Sunday schools are revamped in order to do that, and our teachers who are parents that are doing these in their homes, then in our Sunday schools, these things will start taking shape, start taking form. And that it is the Spirit of God with us, in us, and upon us doing that work. And therein revival breaks out. Men and women seeking the face of God, and in their seeking the face of God, therein is the work of God upon others, that it is a Spirit's work who bloweth where He listeth, and then therefore they are saved. Another point that John Bunyan makes in Christian Behavior, which I think is a great quote to think of this and ponder this with respect to this article: good works must flow from faith or not at all, because that alone carries in it an argument sufficiently prevalent to win over our natures, to make our natures comply with holiness. It must flow from good, from good works must flow from faith, imparted faith from God, which is a gift from God, according to Ephesians 2. It is a fruit of the Spirit. It is a faith that beholds. It's a faith that goes beyond just the mental assent of facts, because the devils believe and tremble. It is a faith that is holy because it comes from the Holy One. And give you a further illustration to close this out of what I'm talking about is that there was a gentleman at one time that was painting some pictures for a Christian school of the 6 days of creation. So he was going right back to Genesis in order to have them understand. He was commissioned by the pastor, and he came up. I was talking with the pastor, and he came up to both of us, and he was stuck on the very first one. He's an artist, and he's going to paint these posters that'll define the 6 days of creation or the creation week, you know, and the seventh day God rested. And his question, his inquiry, he was a little bit stuck on how to convey in picture form. And God said, "Let there be light." Day one. And he asked that question, and he had some concerns on it. And I looked at him, and I said, "Well, why are you doing that?" And here's a pastor who has asked him to do that. And I looked at him, and I thought, why would you want to make a picture of something that's written in God's Word? We had a discussion about it a little bit later, apart from where the pastor was, and I said, and he had a genuine concern. He really wanted to do it right. And he said, how will they learn if I don't make the picture right? If they don't have a picture, how will they see? How will they know? How can they understand? And I said, brother, you're getting way off the point here. How did they do it 400 years ago, 300 years ago? How did they do it 2,000 years ago in the days of Paul? The parents who taught these things, how did they do it in the days of Moses, 1,500 years before Christ? How did they do it when Deuteronomy was given just before they went into the Promised Land? And Deuteronomy 6 says to teach these things to your children. How did they do it? They believed it. And they walked according to that belief, and the Spirit ministered unto the children that these things were true. Not just that my parents were teaching me something, but they believed it. And that if we truly believe it, we walk as if we become even among Reformed, even among doctrines of grace people, sometimes we become as pragmatic as the people that we accuse of being pragmatic. Because we take these blessed tools that have been passed down, that we should utilize. Catechisms, the Westminster Catechism, the Puritan Catechism, John Owen's Catechism, what have you. And these creeds of faith, which are not inspired, but they are tools that explain what we believe about the Scriptures, and we put them into autopilot as if that was going to make the difference. No, it's faith that produces good works. It is faith that our children will see. Mom and Dad certainly believe that. Mom and Dad certainly walk in it. That's where it needs to take place. It needs to first take place in the home. We ministers need to be preaching this from the pulpit and encouraging it in our congregations. And it needs to take place in the home. And it needs to take place within the family. And the church is that where the families are able to gather and continue to encourage one another. And then the things like Sunday school or discipleship classes will take shape from that. If you try to revamp the Sunday school class without that happening, you will have it in that. I believe it will be even in a worse condition than it is now. Well, I know I went a little long, but I certainly am very passionate about this particular topic, and I pray that you would prayerfully consider those things that I've said concerning this thing. And I believe that's where we need to go. I know we've gone a little long, but thank you for your time. Again, I'm John Cardwell with a biblical perspective on the news.